Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter. Well, hello again, everybody, and welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the internet marketing expertise your business needs. My name is Tim Peter. Today is Wednesday, November 5th, 2014. This is episode 97 of The Big Show. 97, wow. Thanks so much for tuning in. I've been doing this for over 2 years now, and I would not keep doing it if it weren't for the fact that you tuned in every single week. So thank you so much for being here. I really do appreciate it. As ever, there is a ton to talk about, but I want to start with an email that I got from Steve in San Francisco. And this is not Steve's real name, and you're about to understand why. Steve works for a startup in the e-commerce space, and he asked that a lot of the things he's working on seem like stuff he's seen before. And what he wants to know is e-commerce innovation over? You know, can you still go out there and do something new and different and all of that? Well, first off, Steve, hang in there. With regard to some of your comments, hang in there. These things happen to everybody at various points. You know, it's not always easy when you're out there trying to create a business from scratch and trying to do something to help your customers, to necessarily do something new and innovative every single day. Obviously, you want to try to do that. You absolutely do. But the most important part is, are you serving your customers' needs? Innovation for its own sake is never a plus. I mean, it can get you a little bit of press, it can get you a little bit of attention, it can get you a little bit of traffic, but it's not necessarily a long-term path to success. Innovation in the spirit of helping your customers, on the other hand, is always a good thing, is always the right thing to do. Because what you're trying to do is make your customers' lives better, make it easier for them to do the things that they want to do. And when you do that, that's an innovation that really is sustainable. That's an innovation that leads to a business that is sustainable. And with that in mind, once we start with that premise, I think that e-commerce innovation has a long way to go. There's tremendous opportunity to help customers in ways that, frankly, a lot of e-commerce activities today don't do well. For instance, there is a new study out from GfK, published on Marketing Charts, where they talk about U.S. omnichannel shopping behavior by category. So this is people using more than one channel as they make a purchase decision. And across all industries that they studied, 44% of all consumers actually use multiple channels as part of their shopping and buying behavior. In some categories, like consumer electronics, apparel, and toys, over 60% of customers use multiple channels as they make their shopping decisions and as they make their purchase decisions. And there wasn't a single category that they listed that wasn't over 20%, right? All categories were over 20%. Now, if you think about the fact that customers do all of these different behaviors, use all of these different channels, and you look at the degree to which these various channels are integrated today, the ease with which customers can move amongst these channels or between specific channels, I think there's tremendous room for innovation. There's a lot of innovation being done, which I'll talk about in a minute, but there's tremendous room to innovate further. According to a Google, Ipsos, and Sterling Brands study, also published on Marketing Charts, 3 in 4 customers report that search, using search engines drives their visits in store. So again, it just underscores the fact that customers actually use multiple channels as they're making their decisions. You know, 75% of people are actually doing searches that then lead them to an in-store visit. But there's a ton of room to improve those experiences. Last marketing charts bit of data to kind of support this is from Forrester and Experian. And again, it's on marketing charts, and I will link to that in the show notes at timpeter.com/podcast. But only about 45% of the marketers that they studied in this specific piece of research actually integrate their digital channels well. So we're not talking about online to offline. We're not talking about offline to online. We're talking about one online channel to another online channel, and less than half actually do a good job of integrating the experience across digital channels. So that should give you a sense of how much room there is to integrate experiences across digital and offline channels. We know for a fact that there's a lot of opportunities to actually help customers make better decisions by, say, using mobile to personalize their shopping experience when they are in store or on property or in your restaurant, right? There's a lot of opportunities there. We know that there's a lot of interest amongst consumers. eMarketer had some great research about this the other day that, again, I will link to in the show notes, that really gets into how apps can play a key role in creating a better experience for your customers, providing recommendations to them, helping them locate the products or services that interest them, and helping them purchase that frankly just isn't being done well at all. Now, TechCrunch actually had a piece that showed some good examples of people who do it reasonably well. Though even in these cases, I think there's room to improve. You know, they talked about KiwiCrate. KiwiCrate is the service that allows people to subscribe to arts and crafts projects for kids. It's a subscription service, and you receive the materials every month or on whichever period you sign up for your kids to go ahead and actually make different projects, different arts, different crafts, different little science projects, etc. It's a cool, cool service. It really is. And they're doing some really great things because not only is it a subscription service, and not only do they have a really good mobile experience so you can sign up there, but they are now making their products available in Target. Now, why are they doing that? Well, there's two reasons. Obviously, one is it's another sales channel for them. The other is Target's got about 1,800 stores. By making the products available there, they're putting it in front of any of the customers shopping in those stores, whether they buy there or not, who may then want to sign up for the subscription service or things like that. So it's actually promoting the product just by being on those store shelves, right? It's almost a reverse showrooming play from that perspective. Though I'm confident they're happy to get the sales or any sales that they get from Target as well. We used to do the same thing. I worked for a hotel company years ago, and we published a physical directory, a book that looked very much like a very attractive catalog listing all of the different hotels. And when people said in this day and age when we had digital, why were we still printing a physical book? The reason was very simple. We had 50,000 hotel rooms that the book sat in every single night. And every single guest who was in one of our hotels, you know, if you figure maybe 60% of those rooms were filled every night, that means that there were 30,000 to 60,000 guests, assuming that they had a companion, they had somebody traveling with them in their room, that was 30 to 60,000 guests every night who had the potential to be exposed to all of our different rooms, all of our different products that we offered. Now, there are better ways to do that today with mobile. There are better ways to do that today with digital, but it was a good way to do it at the time. And it's trying to tie offline and online together in a way that makes it easier for customers to find about your product, learn about your product, and make a decision. KiwiCrate does one other really cool thing in that they've now created a community for its customers to share their projects online and vote on them and things like that. And if you think about it, it's this really cool integration of mobile and social and web and offline. You know, if I were more self-promotional, I might say it's all e-commerce, the way they've tied this all together, right? I mean, we're seeing that in things like Amazon opening its first physical location that I talked about on episode 94 a couple weeks ago. The other thing you're getting into is this integration of merchandising and personalization, where you're not just merchandising your products or services online or on mobile. You're merchandising them for a specific customer. You know, another site referenced in the TechCrunch article is a company called Dolls Kill, where they use models really well to represent their fashions. They're wearing the clothes and things like that. But what's really interesting about it is the clothes really appeal to a more alternative lifestyle, more edgy folks. I want to call it goth, but I might be dating myself by doing that. It might not be called that any longer. But it's this, you know, very trendy, very alternative, not the beaten path type clothing for its customers. And so it's not even the fact that it's the models wearing the clothes. It's the fact that the clothes exist at all. They're able to target a distinct niche audience in a way that nobody is doing effectively. You can't go into a lot of stores and find this stuff. And so they're merchandising this really, really effectively by showing here's a lifestyle that we support and we make it easy for you to make your decisions. They also do a great job with having lots of compelling photos. If there's one thing I'd recommend to anybody as you move forward into 2015, it's that you really can't budget too much for photos. The web has become an incredibly visual medium. Intel data that I cite all the time in various talks I've given is that there are 208,000 photos uploaded to Facebook every single minute and almost 30,000 photos uploaded to Instagram. I mean, that's an amazing, amazing number that just, you know, it is going to grow and grow and grow over the coming, you know, months and years. So just keep focusing on how you can make your photos richer, more shareable, more interesting to your customers. You also want to look at tools that help you continue the storyline, the storytelling around your brand, much like KiwiCrate has done with its content sharing. GetElastic has a great piece on content and commerce that talks about how Sephora is using user-generated selfies showing its customers using their makeup products and the like, and voting on which ones you like best and all that to, again, extend that story. And finally, when you think about the three big trends that we're seeing here, we've talked about merchandising and how personalization is going to influence merchandising. You also have millennials and mobile, the other two pieces that are going to be big here. You know, I talked the other day about the demographic realities that are driving mobile and are driving e-commerce rather, and how mobile, millennials, and mobile payments are going to shape e-commerce for the next decade or so. You see lots of examples of this being exploited by, you know, the various AgFam players. Apple with Apple Pay, Amazon's offline store that I just mentioned a moment ago, Google Wallet and Google Shopping Express, which allows for same-day delivery from local stores. But it's also being exploited by those on the outside of that group who are kind of looking in and trying to force their way in. People like Walmart and Target and Kohl's, who have all actually opened up digital labs in Silicon Valley within the last year. And how active Walmart has been in making this grow. Right now, e-commerce is only 2% of their business, and they are going to do a lot to continue to do that. obviously, as you look at mobile, you have to do things. You know, a marketer's got great research that talks about why you have to have a fast mobile site to help your customers decide whether or not you're the right choice. And I can't emphasize that enough. But I want to come back to the start and to Steve's question and really double down on this idea of it's got to be innovation, any of these things, whether it's making your site faster, whether it's, you know, looking at alternative payments, whether it's integrating offline and online. All of these different factors, as you look at what's going to innovate, going to be innovative in e-commerce for your company, it has to focus on your customers. It has to focus on what their needs are, what their desires are, what their wants are, and how you can help them accomplish their goals every day. And if you can do a good job of that, it doesn't really matter if you're quote-unquote innovative or not, because your customers will welcome the service and the support and the tools that you provide them to do what they want to do and get on with the rest of their day. So, if you want to talk about whether or not innovation is dead in e-commerce, I say no. I say it's got a lot of room to grow. But in particular, it has to grow in service of the customer. You do a good job of that, and you'll have a customer for life. Now, looking at the clock on the wall, we are out of time for this week. As ever, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. I want to remind you that you can subscribe to the podcast by going to timpeter.com/podcast and clicking on the subscribe link in any of the posts that you find there. You can subscribe in iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever your favorite podcatcher is by doing a search for Tim Peter Thinks, Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud, or just plain old Thinks Out Loud. And much like Steve, I want to remind you, you can email me at podcast@timpeter.com. Again, that email address is podcast@timpeter.com. I want to thank you one more time for tuning in. I hope you have a great rest of the week. I hope you have a fantastic weekend ahead. And I'll look forward to seeing you right back here on Thinks Out Loud next week. Take care, everybody.